When a routine White House ceremony for Amy Coney Barrett became a super spreader event, infecting President Trump and dozens of others, despite rigorous testing protocols, it perfectly encapsulated America's failed COVID-19 response. How did the nation ranked best prepared for a pandemic suffer one of the world's worst outcomes? Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb's insider perspective reveals a cascade of institutional failures that left America vulnerable when it mattered most. By January 2020, the warning signs were unmistakable. A mysterious pneumonia in Wuhan was spreading with alarming velocity. Despite China's initial claims of just a dozen cases linked to a market, the numbers quadrupled overnight. Videos showing medics in hazmat suits screening airline passengers contradicted official denials of human-to-human transmission. When China locked down Wuhan on January 23rd, a city of 11 million people, it should have triggered immediate action beyond mere travel restrictions. What America truly needed was diagnostic testing capacity, medical supplies, vaccine development, and expanded local health capabilities. Instead, we watched the crisis unfold in slow motion, unable to see what was already here. China's information blockade severely hampered global pandemic preparation. Despite legal obligations, officials refused to share viral samples, even a year into the pandemic, making scientific determination of the virus's origin impossible. American officials first learned of the outbreak through Taiwanese authorities and Chinese media monitoring rather than official channels. When Hubei province experienced an alarming surge in flu cases beginning December 2, likely unidentified COVID-19, WHO investigators requesting access to these blood samples were refused. This pattern mirrored China's handling of the 2002-2003 SARS outbreak, where they initially concealed the pathogen until Canadian researchers independently sequenced it. Chinese scientists and physicians shared information internationally at great personal risk. The death of ophthalmologist Li Wenlong, threatened by police for discussing the outbreak on social media, symbolized the costs of information suppression. Despite this tragedy, China continued blocking transparency, working to prevent the WHO from declaring a public health emergency of international concern. The CDC positioned itself as the central authority for pandemic response, including test development. While other countries rapidly deployed tests, the CDC rejected the WHO-endorsed German test, insisting on its own design. They shipped kits despite knowing they failed 33% of quality checks. When 24 of 26 public health labs couldn't get the tests to work, the CDC refused simple fixes and demanded new batches instead. The root cause was contamination. The CDC had violated basic protocols by producing viral RNA in the same facility where test kits were assembled. This shortcut to save 10 days ultimately cost 6 critical weeks. Without functional testing, the virus spread undetected through American communities, leaving officials blind to the growing threat until containment became impossible. Our pandemic playbook was designed for influenza, not coronavirus, with fundamentally different transmission patterns. Modern mitigation approaches developed in 2005 for H5N1 bird flu treated non-pharmaceutical interventions as temporary measures until vaccines arrived. By February 2020, HHS Secretary Azar presented a doctrine based on pandemic planning and the 2019 Crimson Contagion exercise, which had exposed critical gaps in leadership, equipment, and state compliance with CDC guidance. The plan shifted responsibility to states while maintaining mitigation as the core strategy. Ironically, our measures proved highly effective against influenza while failing against COVID. Southern Hemisphere flu cases plummeted. Argentina recorded just 53 cases in 2020 compared to 4,623 in 2019, while Chile dropped from 5,000 to 12. By January 2021, the CDC recorded only 1,316 positive flu cases compared to nearly 100,000 the previous year. This highlighted COVID's different transmission pattern. While flu spreads to two or three others after symptoms appear, COVID spread through super spreading events and asymptomatic transmission. The Biogen conference caused 300,000 downstream infections, and a single choir practice infected 53 of 61 attendees. We were fighting the wrong enemy with the wrong weapons. South Korea's pandemic preparation proved prescient. In December 2019, just before COVID emerged, they conducted an exercise simulating a family returning from China with a mysterious respiratory illness. This drill, implemented after their 2015 MERS experience, enabled rapid testing when COVID actually appeared a month later. While both countries identified their first cases in mid-January, South Korea quickly deployed widespread testing and flattened their curve without strict shutdowns. Just 1 week after their first case, officials gathered 20 diagnostics companies to request immediate test development. Their FDA had established a fast-track approval process post-MERS, allowing Cogen Biotech to receive clearance just 4 days after the meeting, with government guarantees for reimbursement and viral samples. South Korea pioneered drive-through testing centers after Dr. Kim Jin-young recognized indoor sites required lengthy ventilation between patients. By April 1, about 80 drive-through sites operated nationwide, strategically located away from hospitals to prevent healthcare facilities becoming infection hubs. Meanwhile, America's testing system collapsed under the CDC's insistence on controlling the process, leaving the country blind to community spread for critical weeks. By early March, America faced a choice between following South Korea's successful containment path or Italy's spiraling epidemic, and chose poorly. COVID arrived when science could create fully synthetic vaccines from viral sequence data alone. When Chinese researchers posted the genetic sequence on January 10, 2020, labs immediately began vaccine development. The mRNA platform proved revolutionary. Cells absorbed it readily, its smaller size reduced immune destruction, and manufacturing required only a chemical process without biological components. BioNTech's full-length spike protein design generated antibodies against multiple regions, providing protection even as the virus mutated. Pfizer filed for emergency authorization on November 20, just 248 days after starting development, the fastest vaccine development in history. The company invested over $2 billion, purchasing specialized mRNA manufacturing equipment at $200 million per unit before knowing if the vaccine would work. Pfizer declined federal development funding to avoid bureaucratic constraints that might slow progress. This unprecedented speed stands as a testament to human ingenuity, a rare bright spot in an otherwise dark pandemic response. In April 2000, the Clinton administration first designated HIV/AIDS a national security risk, unprecedented for a naturally occurring disease. Since then, we've applied this framework inconsistently to public health threats. During COVID, agencies failed to coordinate effectively, with the Pentagon initially resisting the use of biodefense resources. Our preparedness suffered when the National Security Council's biodefense function was eliminated in 2018, just before COVID struck. To prevent future pandemics, we must integrate public health response with national security and intelligence capabilities. COVID introduced large-scale genomic sequencing to track viral evolution, tools whose predictive power will grow as we expand data and correlate genetic features with outcomes. Despite being considered the best-prepared nation, America suffered over 600,000 deaths. The next pandemic could be worse, potentially from novel bird flu strains like H5N1 or H7N9. While we succeeded scientifically with COVID, we failed on the human aspects of response. Our future security depends not just on vaccines and treatments, but on rebuilding the systems, institutions, and trust that failed us.